Good morning once again. I want to thank you once again for having me here to speak to you, and I always appreciate the opportunity I get as a young man, and certainly it helps me grow, and I hope the things we talk about this morning will help us all. This last month in August, I started college at Alabama. I'm now a freshman, and I'm a month in into school, and life is just different than it used to be. You know, my mom and my brother are here today with me, but they drove from their home, and I drove from Tuscaloosa. And so I'm now living by myself, and I don't have my parents to, you know, just, you know, hand feed me everything now. And that's sort of hard to get used to. But also the things that I see and am around are just different. You know, on a college campus, it's a completely different place. There's so much worldliness and sin, and anything you can think of, you can pretty much see there. And so, you know, me as a Christian am an outlier in a place like this. And so when I tell, you know, people there that, you know, well, I just don't drink or no, I can't go to this place with you. You know, a lot of times the response that I get nowadays is, man, you know, what's wrong with you? You're weird. And so, you know, they say, you know, how can you be a Christian? You just have no fun. Or I'll get, you know, it's way too hard to be a Christian. You know, you never get to do what you want. You're always having to live by a set of rules. And so many believe now, I think, that living in the world is not only easier, but provides more happiness than living the life of a Christian. And so what I've realized is that, you know, being a Christian is hard for everyone, not just my age, but any age. It is not easy being a Christian. We face persecution. We have to resist sin. And I know sometimes we just wonder, maybe is it all worth it? And so this morning I want to talk to you about why be a Christian. Why is it worth it? And I want to go through some reasons, first of all, of things why the world is not as good as it seems. First of all, the world is temporary. Our bodies are temporary. Turn to Psalm chapter 103, or Psalm 103, verses 15 through 16. Now, sometimes I think we look at all the athletes and the models in this world, and we look at, you know, the pictures that we see on social media or in the magazines or on TV, and that's all they seem to show. And we get caught up in how we look, and man, I just wish I could be as fit as them, or man, I wish I could look as good as them. But we see here in verse 15, it says, "As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." You know, these bodies break down. I'm sure there are people here in the audience who can attest to this, that, you know, 20, 40, 60 years ago, you were much different than you are now. And over time, your bodies have just begun to break down. That's because they're not meant to last forever. They're temporary. 2 Corinthians 5 says that these bodies are tents. You know, you think of a tent, it's not a permanent home, right? You just camp for, you know, a week or two in a tent, or not, probably not even that long in a tent. And then it's gone, right? You pack it back up. And that's what our bodies are. You know, I'm an Alabama fan. I'm at Alabama now, but I'm not, you know, naive enough of Auburn to remember Bo Jackson. And when he was a Heisman Trophy running back at Auburn, he went to the NFL, and, you know, he was the best athlete of his time. I remember watching a documentary on him. He was just running down the sideline in the NFL, and he makes one cut, and just like that, his hip is destroyed. And no longer could he play football. No longer could he do the things that he once did. And he went from being one of the greatest athletes to being barely able to walk. And we think about it, that's how our bodies are. They're temporary. They break down. And so over time, we must realize that Father Tom is going to win, no matter what we do. Also, our possessions are temporary. And this is the one I think we see the most of in our society. You know, we think we have to have the latest and greatest, right? You know, just 10 years ago, I remember being a little kid or so, and my dad first got like the iPhone 4 or something it was. And I just remember thinking, man, that is so cool. And now if you have an iPhone 4, it's like the worst phone you can have, right? And that's just 10 years ago. But that's our culture, isn't it? You know, where everything's just passing. Everything's just temporary. And when we get a new phone this Christmas, 2 years from now, we're going to want another one. And that just seems to be it. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. "And not only are these things temporary here, but they're temporary when we go. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And so you can't take any of these possessions here with you. You know, we talked about in the first class that, you know, God has blessed us with possessions, but we are just stewards of those, right? One day they're all going to be gone. I think of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 16, and here Jesus tells a story of a man. And he says, then he spoke of a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, this man has all these possessions, and when he says, what should I do with them? Oh, I know, I'm going to build bigger barns where I can get more and more. And he says, look what I have done. And God says, your soul is going to be required of you this night. And then Lord of the good of those possessions, they're just going to be given to the next man. And that's what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. As he looks at all the things that he has done, he said, it means nothing. Because once I die, it's just going to be given to somebody else. And so our possessions are temporary. Also, pleasure. You know, so many people in the world today just say, what can I do to please me? What can I do to entertain me? And it doesn't matter what I do, really. It doesn't matter if it's bad or the consequences, as long as it's pleasing me. I think of Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, and we look at this picture and we think, you know, how foolish does this look? But this is people in our world. Proverbs chapter 20. Excuse me, I have it written down wrong. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29. It says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or the one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may see another drink? And so we see here that, you know, wine is what he's talking about here, alcohol. It's good for a while, right? But then you wake up, and the consequences, and all you can think about is, when do I see another drink, right? It's fleeting. It's temporary. And so many times I think we get caught up in not just necessarily this one thing, but we get caught up in this world and the entertainment and sports and how much pleasure it brings to us. But those things aren't going to be here forever. Also in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 21, it's talking about the adulterous woman here. It says, while her enticing speech With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. If all we do is get caught up in the pleasure of this life, one day it's going to catch up to us. The consequences are going to catch up to us. And it's going to be when we least expect it. It just catches up. There, you can't rely on the pleasures of this world. And finally, the earth itself is temporary. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Well, this earth is a beautiful and amazing place. One day it's gonna be gone. There will be nothing left. And God will burn up everything that is here. And so then what, right? That's everything on this earth. All that we've talked about will be gone. Because everything here is just temporary. Also, worldly living has consequences, right? First John chapter 5 and verse 19. First John 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And so this world is under the control of the devil. And so do we really want to be, you know, caught up in all about this world? Because the devil has control over it. And we can look around and see that in our society, just how wicked it is. And because of that, the world is in sin. First John chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so the things that are in this world, all these things, they're sinful. They're not of the Father. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Many times we turn to this passage for the fruit of the Spirit. But right after that it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So all these things, they're of the flesh. They're of the world. And so this worldly living is sin. And it leads to destruction. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. You know, it's very popular in our world today. More and more sin is tolerated. We think of the laws that are even being passed in our country and some of the issues we're dealing with right now. More and more is being tolerated. And the Bible told that a long time ago. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Right, the way of this world, there's going to be many people who fall into that, but it leads to destruction. And so it can be easy sometimes for us to get caught up in that trap because, well, everybody's doing it. But that's not a good excuse. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. So many things we can learn from the book of Proverbs because it's written by Solomon, who is the wisest man. Probably, you know, we know God gave him wisdom. And it says in verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If all we do is rely on ourselves, if we only seek out for ourselves, if we will rely on our understanding, then it says the way is death, right? Because we don't have all of the answers. I think of Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And, you know, Jesus, once again, telling this story, is speaking to many, you know, the Pharisees here, and they thought that they were the cream of the crop. They thought they were the ones that were saved, that were spiritual. He says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now the rich man had everything on this earth. He said he wore it, the rare purple garments. He had fared sumptuously every day. He had all the food he seems like he could have. And all Lazarus had was the crumbs that fell from his table. But where did the rich man end up? He ended up in torment, and he asked that Lazarus would just dip his finger in water and come put it on his tongue. You know, how terrible of a picture is that? And so I think the lesson that we learn is that there must be something else. There must be something more than just this life to look forward to. And of course the answer is Christ, right? John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Christ is the answer. He is the way, the truth, the life, and He is the only way. And He is the only way to life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so He came so that we could be saved and that we could have everlasting life. While the world may seem like it has all the answers, and all the fun is maybe, we think in the world, it is fleeting. And I think being a Christian provides us with more blessings than we could ever imagine. And so for the rest of the time this morning, I want to look at some of the benefits and blessings that we have as Christians. First of all, we will be physically blessed. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 25, so many times I think people will see us as Christians and say, well, you don't do anything fun. You don't have anything physically. And that's not true. God has promised to provide for our needs if we are Christians. He will take care of us. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God knows what we need, and He knows that we need things to survive here on this earth. And if we are willing to follow Him, then He will provide these blessings for us. In Psalm 37, verse 25, David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. You know, never has it been said that the Christian has not had what he has needed. God provides for His people. He also has stability. Right? I think of Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24 through 27. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount here, Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We see here that, you know, the storm comes, right? But the man who had built his house on the rock, his house stood firm. It did not blow over. And that's what it's like being a Christian. We know life is hard. It's unpredictable. We do not know what will happen tomorrow. And no matter how good of a person we are, bad things are going to happen. You know, we talked about how in the hurricanes going through the Bahamas right now. And, you know, those people didn't ask for that, but it happened. But God can provide stability for us. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. And so when troubles come in this life, we know that God will be with us and He can help us through. And even if it's too much here on this earth, we know that one day we have that home awaiting for us. And so God can provide that stability for you in your life. Also, I think the greatest blessing we have on this earth is we have the church. Right? As Christians, we are in the church. And because of that, we are saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. When the church was established here on the day of Pentecost and Peter's preaching the first gospel sermon, we know that 3,000 souls were baptized that day. And it says at the end of the chapter that praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so as Christians, if we are in the church, then we are saved. And what a blessing that is, that if we are willing to do what the Lord has said and we obey Him, that we can be a part of the saved. Also, our brethren. Now, I don't think we realize how much of a blessing it is for us to have our brethren, right? You know, at college right now, I said there's a lot of things I'm seeing. There's a lot of people who are not acting like they should. But the people who are along the most right now are the people that are in the church with me, the ones that are like-minded like me and who are also Christians. In the same chapter, in Acts chapter 2, verse number 44, it says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and good and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." And so they helped each other. They provided for one another. And, you know, the brethren in our church are our family, right? Maybe not physically, but spiritually they are our family. And we can receive, you know, things from one another just like our physical family. We can be that much of an encouragement to one another. And so we should rely on one another. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching." A lot of times I think we come to this passage and we read verse 25 and we say, see, you shouldn't miss church service. But why? Why is he saying that? It says, "Because then let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." When we come together and we're doing what we're doing right now, it's an encouragement to one another. We're edifying and building one another up. And truly, that is a blessing to be able to be with Christians in the church. And finally, because of being in the church, we have the forgiveness of our sins. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we've talked about how we are in the world, we are living in the world, and because of that, we know that sometimes we're going to slip up in sin. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But it also says in 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so if we are willing to confess our sins, that we have sinned, and then willing to repent, God will forgive them of us. But that is only if we are doing what we should and we are a Christian in the Lord's church. But we can have assurance of that, and what a great blessing that is. And finally this morning, as Christians, we have eternal life. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, this is known as the Hall of Faith, where it goes through the great list of characters in the Bible and their great faith. But we see in verse 16, it says, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." You see, all these people on this earth, even though they did great things on this earth, and he goes through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, they desired a better, a heavenly country. Because they knew that this home, this earth was not their home. They were just pilgrims looking for a home. And the same is promised to us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 through 8. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." And so this crown of righteousness is for all who have loved His appearing, for us. And so even though we talk about this life can be difficult, if we can stay true to Christ, then we have this eternal home in heaven with God. And we talked about how, you know, our bodies here break down, but in heaven we'll have new bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So these bodies that we talked about are going to break down. But when we go to heaven, that is a permanent thing. We will be able to live forever in a new spiritual body. And everything is permanent there. We know we talked about here our possessions, they're fleeting. They're going to be left here when we die. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so there, nothing will grow old, right? Everything is permanent. And finally, and I think the greatest blessing of being in heaven is that we will be with God. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And this is the last verse we will read today. It says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I want to end by telling a story this morning. And a couple weeks ago, my grandfather passed away, my mom's dad. And I remember shortly after, my aunt apparently was talking to my dad, and she has four small children. They're all, and one of her daughters is about 5 years old. Her name is Amelia. She might be four. And she had to tell the kids, you know, that, hey, your grandfather, you know, he's going to pass away. He's going to die. And she said, you know, most of the kids were, the other three were very upset. But Amelia had this just smile on her face and kept, like, almost was happy about it. And she just, you know, Amanda, of course, this was her dad, so she was upset. And she said, Amelia, you know, why are you happy? And she said, because Papa is going to see Jesus, right? He's going to see Jesus. And she says, apparently, that Amelia asked, you know, when do I get to go see Jesus? And when I heard that, it made me think of my perspective, right? I get so caught up sometimes in the physicalness of this life, of all the things here. And sometimes I forget that my home is in heaven where I get to see Jesus. Just as I see you now, you know, we will be with Him for eternity. And so are we looking forward to that day? And truly, that is the greatest blessing that we can have. There will be no night there, for God is the light. And how great of a day that is. And so this morning I want to ask, you know, are you a Christian? Do you have the blessings that we've talked about this morning? I think we've talked about the importance of why you should be one. And God wants you to be a child of His. The Bible says that He wants all to come to repentance. And He wants you to have this eternal home with Him that we have talked about. But you have to do your part. And so if you're here this morning and you have not become a child of God, please confess your sins, repent, and be baptized and become a child of His. Or if you are here today and you have fallen away, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.